If you would turn your Bibles to Luke 23, we've been in our series on Thessalonians, but we're going to break from that for a communion meditation today and ask the Lord to speak to us in particular in this communion service. Luke chapter 23, this is the narrative, the crucifixion of Christ. And we're going to just pick up a few verses here and read. God bless you. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? Oh, we need the Lord to speak to us. I want eternal things to be done in this service, and only the Holy Spirit can orchestrate things to change people's lives. But make no mistake, there are folks here this morning that their lives need an eternal touch this morning. They got to have it. Got to have it. Luke 23, we'll begin reading at verse 32. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, Jesus, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. There's a break here. There's some time here. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as he's saying that, they parted his raiment and rolled the dice. When he's saying that, I want you to focus on the part Jesus said, Father, forgive them, forgive them. I want to preach this morning on forgiven. I think this example here of our Christ, our Lord, as he hanged on the cross, as he was bleeding from the wounds inflicted upon him by those that were gambling for his garments at its foot, I think this example of forgiveness shouts, number one, it shouts to us, we too are forgiven. How many's glad to be forgiven this morning? But it also says not only are we forgiven, it says to us if he forgave like this, we too should forgive. Not only are we forgiven, we should forgive. Father, help us this morning. Shut up our hearts to the truth. God, I pray there be an eternal difference made in people's hearts, moved by the Holy Spirit throughout the preaching of the word. And crown, O Lord, this service with the communion, with the presence of Christ made real. Lord, you are amongst us. You are at the table today. Now, Lord, move by that eternal Spirit. Remove every distraction. Anoint me, your servant, to speak your word. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. The story was told some time ago in Spain of father and son. His son had an altercation, had a big fight. It resulted in the son leaving home. And for months, the father had no indication where his son was. The father cooled off from his anger and went to seek for his son throughout Spain, couldn't find him. Finally, he came to Madrid and didn't know where to look for his son, so he took out an ad in the newspaper. And the ad in the newspaper said, Dear son, I'm looking for you. I'm searching for you. Meet me tomorrow morning in front of the newspaper office. All is forgiven. Love, your dad. One little thing I didn't include there. He addressed this letter to Paco. Dear son, dear Paco, I'm looking for you. Meet me tomorrow morning in front of the newspaper office. All is forgiven. Love, your dad. The dad went down to the newspaper office the next morning, and 800 men named Paco showed up. 800 men loving to hear the words, you are forgiven from the Father. I'm telling you, if you'd listen, you'd hear those words from the Father this morning. You'd hear, all is forgiven. Love your father. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. I know that many have offended the Heavenly Father, But Jesus prays for those as he prayed for these who had crucified him. He prays, Father, forgive them. And you know what? The Father does. The Father forgives him. All is forgiven. I believe even in this service, there are those that recognize their great need of forgiveness. And they would love to have the assurance that all is forgiven. I want you to know you can leave this morning knowing that your sins are forgiven. What a wonderful message. Hallelujah. We speak of an awesome God. When we do so, we speak of his creating this world or universe. We speak of him being an awesome God, of working miracles and of the lightning flashes of his judgment. But I don't think there's any greater picture of how awesome of a God that we have than the picture I read to you this morning, that when our God hanged on a cross, bleeding, he forgave those that inflicted the wounds. He forgave those leaders that instigated the crucifixion. He forgave the crowd that clamored and hollered and yelled and screamed for his crucifixion. I'm telling you, look on the cross and see him forgiving, and then you can lift your hands and say, our God is an awesome God. Look what kind of God we serve. Hallelujah. What a great God. Hallelujah. Amen. Here the Father was poised to send judgment on those that had crucified his Son. But Jesus says in effect, Father, wait. Father, wait. Don't judge them. Don't kill them. Don't send them to hell. Father, wait. Forgive them. Forgive them that have done this thing. More than what they were doing to him, Jesus was concerned about what was going to happen to them. He was concerned about those that had victimized him. I want to ask you a question this morning. What if God was a God that held a grudge? What if God was a God who refused to forgive and to forget? What if God was a God who got back at people, who got even with people? What if God was as unforgiving as many times we are? But we don't have that kind of God. We have a God that says, you are forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. And why did the Father forgive? He forgave for Christ's sake. I want you to notice of these men, they weren't even asking the Father to forgive them. Amen. And Jesus was asking the Father to forgive them for what they were doing to him. Amen. He was asking the Father to forgive them, and that can only let me know Jesus himself must have already forgiven them. If Jesus could ask the Father to forgive them, then Jesus had to have already forgiven them. Oh, amen. Just shout it out, Brother Brian, right now. What a Savior. Oh, do it again. Hallelujah. Hanging on the cross, bleeding, and then he forgives those that have transgressed against him. You know, sometimes we as humans, even we as Christians, we can become full of pride and self-absorbed and self-seeking and just selfish. But when we see this picture of our Creator, our Redeemer, hanging on a cross and forgiving those that have done aught against him, those that have come against him, when we see that picture, the pride has to go. The self-seeking has to go. There's no response but a humble, thank you, Father, that all is forgiven. Hallelujah. What does it mean to forgive? Very simply, to forgive is to release. Listen to that word. Release the one that has wronged you from the demands or wishes of punishment and retaliation and retribution. You release the one that has wronged you from any demands, from any thought, from any wish of retribution or revenge or payment. You just release them and let them go. If you forgive and release the one that has wronged you, you will find that it in turn releases you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. There's no other greater example than the one that I just read. And by the way, Jesus practiced what he preached. He said, pray for your enemies. He said, do good to them that despitefully use you. And here on the cross, Jesus prayed for his enemies. He said, Father, forgive them. Amen. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. He taught that and he lived it. At this moment of his life, he practiced everything he preached about forgiving those that have wronged us. We have forever his example of forgiveness. And notice what Jesus said here. He said, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I've seen folks hurt other people. I've seen a man abandon his wife and his children. I've seen people say nasty things to somebody, hurtful things. And I've said to my wife, they just simply could not know what they're doing, or they wouldn't have done it. They just can't know what they're doing. And Jesus looked down at those that his blood was dripping from the cross and onto the ground. They're gambling over his garments. And he said to the Father, they just can't know what they're doing, or they wouldn't be doing it. Who is the they? Perhaps it's the Roman soldiers. Perhaps it's the Jews. Perhaps it is the crowd that you'll crucify him. You say, how could they not know? Paul later says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What did they not know? They didn't know what they did to him. I know they knew that they crucified him, but they did not know how they hurt him. They did not know how they abused him. They did not know how they shamed him. And I'd like to say to some that have rejected Christ over and over, you just couldn't know how you hurt him. You just couldn't know how you rip his heart out. You just couldn't know how you bring him to shame again by a refusal to reject him. What did they not know? They did not know that they were doing wrong. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Roman soldiers. They were simply following orders. They didn't realize Jesus was innocent. They didn't realize that he was the King of Kings, the Messiah and the Creator. They were just following army orders. They did not know. But there is a crowd that did know, and that was the Jews that condemned him to death. That was the crowd that watched him work miracles and forgive and yet holler, crucify him. They did know. So how did they not know? They did not know the consequences of their sin. They did not know the consequences of their rejection. They did not know the consequences of their rebellion. But whether it was Romans or Jewish leaders or crowd, I kind of believe it was all of them in the one pronoun when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. Oh, I believe you and I are included in the they. Hallelujah. I said, you and I are included in the they. Oh, Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. All is forgiven. God was willing to forgive them, but would they accept? I want to tell you, he's a forgiving God. I'm reading George W. Bush's autobiography, and he called himself, and people called him, the decider. Got a ring to it. I'll tell you, something's got a better ring to it. I'd like to call God this morning the forgiver. How many knows he's a forgiver? Oh, we ought to shout it, hallelujah. God is the ultimate forgiver. I say to that, there are two responses. Knowing he is the forgiver, number one, my response is that is wonderfully reassuring. But my second response is that is terrifyingly convicting. I'm assured that he forgives. But that says to me, I too need to be a forgiver. I'm one of those three things that we're done. The questions are, it's not, is God a forgiver? The questions are these. Number one, will I accept forgiveness? Will I accept forgiveness? God's forgiveness is sure. He is forgiving the very ones that crucified him, but just forgiving them did not save them. The only way his forgiveness became good in terms of their salvation was whether or not they accepted his forgiveness. You know, in a sense, God has already forgiven everybody, in a sense. It's a matter of accepting that forgiveness. You know, that's tough for some people to do. And so I want to make clear, we do not have a problem with God forgiving us. We have a problem of accepting forgiveness, of believing he has forgiven us, of desiring his forgiveness. You know, there are folks today that are suffering with not being forgiven. It's not that God hasn't forgiven them, but they are suffering. They're in turmoil. They're messed up, if you please. God's already forgiven them, but they've not accepted that forgiveness. How do you know they haven't accepted God's forgiveness? Because they've never forgiven themselves. There are people today, listen to this message. It's not a matter of God forgiving you, but you've never forgiven yourself. You need to accept the fact, if you have confessed that thing, God has forgiven you. And now it's time for you to accept that and forgive yourself. Amen? Jesus not only forgave them, he pled with the Father to forgive them. We're not just forgiven because we ask for it. We're forgiven because right now we have a mediator, an advocate, who is praying to the Father. Forgive them. Aren't you glad he's on your side? Aren't you glad he intercedes for you? But the point is, these men at the cross, they never asked for Jesus' forgiveness. Brother Mark, if Jesus forgave those that never ever asked for it, don't you think he'll also forgive those that do ask for it? If you've asked him to forgive you, you can rest assured he has forgiven you. Accept that. Amen. Have that assurance. Amen. That he has forgiven you. Amen. Just accept it and forgive yourself. I love the story about a great man of God in the Philippines. He was a tremendous minister. Loved the people. Ministering. But in seminary, he had committed an awful sin. Nobody knew about it. No one in his pastorate knew about this awful sin. None of his family knew. But as he went about for year after year ministering to other folks, he was bothered by that sin over and over and over. There was a lady in his congregation. This woman was known as one that had dreams of Christ, and she would talk to Christ in her dreams. And the man was visiting her one day, and he just on a whim, he said, "I'm going to test this out. You know, this woman claims to have dreams and talk with Jesus. I'm going to test that out." And he said, "Do you really believe that Jesus talks to you in your dreams?" And she says, "Yes, sir, I really do, Pastor." He said, "I want you to do something for me. Next time you have one of those dreams and you're talking with Jesus, ask him what horrible sin your pastor committed in seminary." "Okay, Pastor, I'll do that." Some time went by, and one Sunday at the church, the pastor met the woman, and they were where others weren't listening, and he said to her, "Have you dreamed of talking with Christ yet?" "Yes, sir, I have." "Did you ask him what sin I committed in seminary?" "Yes, Pastor, I have." "And what did he say?" And she looked at her pastor, and she said, "Jesus said, I can't remember what sin it was he committed in seminary." It was forgiven. It was forgiven. The second question is, in this picture of Christ's forgiveness, will I ask? Will I ask for forgiveness? You know, I think the travesty of this story is what's not here. I think the bad thing is that when those soldiers looked up and saw the pain they inflicted, when the crowd saw that he was hanging there because they yelled, "Crucified him," when those hardened Jewish leaders saw his riven flesh and his bleeding there, the travesty is that those folks didn't look up at him and say, "Oh, what have we done? Oh, God, forgive us of what we have done." You'll never read that where they fell down at the cross and asked for forgiveness of that horrible crime they committed against him. That should have been in the story. You know, some people just won't ask for forgiveness, whether of God or of other people. I trained my kids, you know how children do, they'll get into it. And, you know, people, when they've done wrong and they're forced to apologize, they just want to say, snoring. What was that? Snoring. What was that? I'm sorry. Say it clear. I'm sorry. And I wouldn't let my kids just say I'm sorry because, you know, that's done. Right? I tell them, you look at your brother or sister and you ask it this way. Will you forgive me? And then you name the offense. See, when you ask, will you forgive me, you're expecting a response from the other person, the one that you've wronged. I think when we do wrong, we need to ask forgiveness of the Lord. Will you forgive me? But the wonderful thing is, he'll never shake his head and say, oh no, I won't forgive you. Again? Aren't you glad God don't respond like that? Father, will you forgive me? Again? His response will be, all is forgiven. And, you know, I've seen it. I've heard it said of folks. They have never apologized. They did something horribly wrong. They've never apologized. They've never said they were sorry. They never asked for forgiveness. And I tell you what really gets me is some people walk around acting like God is the offender and God has offended them and God needs to ask their forgiveness for something that God has done. I'm telling you, God is never the offender. God never needs to apologize. God never needs to say, I'm sorry. He's not offended you. If there's any offense, you have offended God. God doesn't need to be asking for forgiveness, but you and I too, amen, we have offended a holy, mighty, righteous God, and we need to come and ask for forgiveness. Amen. But I strongly believe God will forgive when we sincerely ask. Hallelujah. How many believes that? Praise the name of the Lord. I earnestly believe that. Many times this week I've found myself saying, Father, forgive me. Now, I don't want you to think your pastor's been out committing horrible sins. He shouldn't be preaching this morning. But I'm just letting you know, as pastor, I found myself many times this week saying, Father, forgive me. That's the way a Christian ought to live. Not because we live with the lack of assurance, but because we do have the assurance that he's a forgiving God. Oh, hallelujah. Will you ask for forgiveness? Will you ask for forgiveness? Amen. And then last of all, the question is, when we look at this picture of Christ, will I give forgiveness? Will I give forgiveness? One of the men of old that I like to read, George Herbert, he said, he who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. He who will not forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. Forgiving someone may mean something to them. I mean, it can mean something to someone when you forgive them. How many's ever known the relief when you really messed up against someone and you went to them and they forgave you? Wasn't that a great feeling? And so giving forgiveness may mean something to the person that you ask forgiveness from. But I'm telling you, giving forgiveness most greatly affects the one that's giving it. Let me say it again. Giving forgiveness, yes. Yes, it does affect the one to whom forgiveness is giving. But giving forgiveness most greatly affects the one that gives it. When you say, I forgive, something happens in your heart. If it is sincere, if it is real, when you say, yes, I forgive you, there is a release. There's something that happened. There are people that have lived with things for years and simply will not forgive. I'll never forget, I went down in the hills of Tennessee, north of Knoxville, to go to the old Hearst Cemetery. My great-grandfather and a bunch of Hearst are buried there. And the same generation away from my great-grandfather, he's an older man, he lived on some of the land, a fraction of the land. And we were standing there. You know how pretty it is down there. We're standing on top of a hill in Tennessee. We'd already been to the cemetery. And he began to tell me the story, how this person had moved in to help some of our sick relatives and had ended up stealing the greatest part of the land from him. I mean, it hadn't even happened to him. It was, you know, way, you know, up in the line of our generations. And that man, he was no older. He was already close to 60 then. I'll never forget. He stood on that mountaintop talking about how someone had stolen all that hearse land. And he kicked the dirt and looked at me and said, "I hate him. Oh, I hate him. I hate him. I hate him." I mean, it's not just in the hills that folks find it hard to forgive. There are some folks, you know, if you refuse to forgive, it's not really what you're doing to the person that you're not forgiving. It's what you're doing to yourself. It destroys you. Will you give forgiveness? You know, only the one that has offended you can ask for forgiveness. But you can forgive someone even if they haven't asked. Jesus did. You say, "Well, I don't know if I'll forgive them or not. Besides that, they hadn't asked me to." You can forgive them whether they've asked you or not. Jesus did in this story. And if the greatest of greatest can forgive far greater offenses against himself, can we not, who are lowly, can we not forgive the lesser offenses against ourselves? I'm not minimizing what wrong was done to you. I'm just saying, if Christ forgave all that was done to him, can we not forgive what was done to us? Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad for forgiveness this morning? I want to tell you, in the words of Christ, that our being forgiven is inseparably tied to our willingness to forgive others. Our being forgiven is eternally, inseparably tied to our willingness to forgive others. Look what Jesus says. I don't know if I gave you the verses, brother, but Matthew 6:14. Jesus said after a parable, he said, "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You know what he said? Our being forgiven by God is tied to our willingness to forgive those who offended us. I've told you before, but never will I forget a time I went to deal with a man in the hospital. He was dying. Had several problems, and he was dying, but he was still cognitive. I could talk to him. I began to talk to him, share the gospel. He began to respond. And I asked him, I said, "Would you like to pray for salvation?" He said, "Yes." But I knew something the family had told me. I knew he was estranged from one of his children. And I said to him, "You know, before we pray," I said, "I got to tell you this." And I went through the parable and I said, "Jesus said that before the Father forgives us, we need to forgive those that have done us wrong." He knew what I was talking about. He said, "Well, if you're talking about so-and-so," he said, "I ain't going to forgive him." And I said, "Well, if you don't," this is it, I never forget. I said, "Listen, we're fixing to pray. But if you don't forgive your son, God cannot, will not forgive you, and you cannot be saved." And the dying man looked at me and said, "Well, I guess I won't be saved then, because I ain't forgiving him." Whom did he hurt? Whom did he destroy? Amen. Brother Steve, will you help me out just a minute? Amen. This man here, every morning, rides a subway to work. He'd come down the tunnels, stand on the edge of the dock waiting for a subway. He had another friend that come every morning. "Come here, Brother Brian." They'd stand there talking. "Come on this side over here." They come talking, you know. There they would be talking, just having a good time. But there was a third guy. There was a third guy. I need someone real aggressive here. Brother Jake, you come. Oh, Jake, I got two aggressive guys here. This will work good. Come over on this side. This third guy, he wanted to get into conversation, so every morning he'd whirl this guy around, and as he talked to him nonstop, he kept poking him right in the chest like that. Keep poking him in the chest. Oh, that bugged this guy. He wanted to be nice. He wanted to be polite. That's not very aggressive. I mean, get with it. Yeah. just talking away. I mean, morning after morning. Okay, thank you. Come over here for just a minute, Brother Burr. Stand here. One morning, button up your jacket there for just a second here. We're on the platform. One morning, Brother Steve comes, and he's talking to Brother Brian. He said, you know that guy that always pokes me in the chest? I can't stand that. I hate that. It makes me so angry. But he said, I fixed him. Let me show you something. And he unbuttoned his jacket and strapped all over his chest. He had dynamite. Button your jacket. And he said, this morning, when that man comes and pokes me in the chest, he's going to blow his finger off. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what happens when you don't forgive. You can snub them. You can cut your eyes at them. You can talk bad about them, but all you're doing is blowing their finger off, and you're destroying yourself in the very core of your heart. Can you say amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Two great figures met on the boat on the way over here to America. John Wesley and General Oglethorpe, who started the orphanage there in Georgia. And the general, he had something happen with one of his servants. He was standing there on the boat talking to Reverend Wesley. And he said, that servant, I can't believe he'd done that thing, and I'll never forgive him. And Preacher Wesley looked at the general and said, then I hope, sir, you never need forgiveness. Because unless you forgive him, you'll never be forgiven. Are you willing to give forgiveness? Amen. Would you come, music? Whoever's going to be playing and singing. Oh, aren't you glad all is forgiven? Many of us will remember that just 5 years ago, 2006, in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, when the insane gunman went into the Amish school and shot five girls. How many remembers the incident? I don't know if you know the rest of the story, but one of those fathers got other men together, and they went to the house of the gunman's wife, and they went to wherever they needed to go, and they forgave that gunman for killing their daughters. Wow. I read a story just a little bit ago. It touched me deeply, and that's the only reason I share it. We have the problem with a lot of teen drunken drivers. And the man was telling the story of how God worked in his life because a drunken young lady in her automobile took his wife's life. He said, I struggled with that, but God began to deal with me about forgiveness. So I asked this girl's parents if I could visit with her. And I went to her house, and I sat down there at the table, and I told her that I forgave her. She began to weep and cry. He didn't know anything for years. But years later, he got a letter from a quite renowned missionary woman. And she said, that day that you forgave me, it changed my life. I hadn't thought about God or anything. But when you forgave me, I committed my life to Jesus Christ. And today I have this ministry of reaching many, many for Jesus Christ. Oh, the power of forgiveness. How do you know that forgiveness has power? Look what it did in your life when you knew that he had forgiven you. We're fixing to partake of communion. We could open this for an altar call, but I want to ask you those three questions. Number one, have you accepted forgiveness? And you can't accept unless you ask. Secondly, have you asked for forgiveness? Not only of God, but of other people you have offended. And thirdly, have you given forgiveness? Someone has wronged you. Have you forgiven them? I believe those are the questions we ought to contemplate as we proceed in this communion service. After this communion, if you're here and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, I want you to know you can be forgiven. You don't have to wait to come to the front after the communion service, right where you sit. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Did you hear that? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a great forgiver. Oh, hallelujah. If you're glad you're forgiven, I want you to lift a hand towards heaven right now. Amen. Let's begin to praise Him. Just thank Him for being forgiven. Oh, He didn't have to forgive us, but He did. He didn't have to forgive us, but He did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need to ask for forgiveness of a brother, a sister, a family member, if you need to give forgiveness, I wouldn't wait till they were through serving communion. I wouldn't partake of communion without forgiveness being asked for or given. I'd go, I don't care what people would think, I'd go to that individual and I'd either give or ask for forgiveness, whatever it called upon. Because if He's forgiven us, we ought to be quick and ready and willing and desirous to give and to ask for forgiveness. Amen. Servers, would you come?